Okay, well, hopefully everybody can hear me. I looks like I am okay. All right, I shouldn't be doing this. I'm trying a different microphone. I got to believe this is a lot clearer, so I thought I'd try it. Wasn't sure if it was going to work. It seems like it's working okay. If somebody's listening, it's not working okay, you can let me know that, I guess. There are a number of people listening that probably know how to get through to me. But anyway, I would assume so. I don't know that for certain. A lot of people still coming on the call. And I believe I did start the recording. Let me just check. And I did. Okay. Well, I'm really rushed. I'm sorry. So next week, I'm on vacation. And I recorded a series of five segments. Or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday that I want everybody to hear. So I was doing that, and I had one more segment to record, which I had to do right after the program this morning. And unfortunately, it's not that easy because our team in the production booth are doing a number of different kinds of productions. Somebody may be working on something totally unrelated to my program, and certain things had to be shut down and restarted and all that kind of stuff. So I had to get that done. I had to record the segment, and then I broke a land speed record getting back here to the office. So I'm a little rushed. I apologize for that. Anyway, there's a lot of things going on, obviously, that I want to talk to you about. But I'll just try to be as brief as I possibly can without going into too much detail. But one of the things that I think is going to happen, and I don't mean to be confusing and to send mixed messages. First of all, I always like to tell you a little bit about what I'm doing or what I did. So I never ask anybody to do what I'm not doing. Or wouldn't do, and it's just been a policy of mine for the last 35 years or so, because I figure, you know, how bad can anything be if I wouldn't do it? So I always make sure of that, and that goes for everything, whether it's giving or whatever. I said this morning, I think it's time to pause. I think this is a great time to pause. Volume is going to be low. There's not going to be a lot of conviction. We could possibly see a couple of mergers and some acquisitions. I am literally, I've got to tell you, I really can't tell you the names, but there are some mergers and one acquisition in particular that I am just praying happens. Because, not because it's going to be good for us, though it will be, but because I'm afraid what will happen if it doesn't happen, and it could be very bad for us. So, unfortunately, the information that I got on that is coming out of one of the investment banking firms that is putting the deal together, and I cannot even hint at what it might be. But nonetheless, I do hope that these things happen. And I think we could see that over the summer. And that would be great. That would be good for us if they are companies. Obviously, there's going to be companies that don't involve us, but there's going to be some that do, I believe, and I think that's a very good thing. I think we're in a very, very we've been so volatile for so long. One of my particular areas of concern, which I've mentioned to you this before and it hasn't changed, is the energy sector. And here's why. I do believe now that the energy sector is going to have some sort of new normal. It's going to be very, very different. This is going to be the ultimate Darwinian actions, they call it. I'm not saying it because, well, I heard you talk about Darwin. Are you for Darwin? No. It's just a term used on Wall Street that is basically, it means the survival of the fittest. And when it's talked about in economic terms, it generally is speaking about certain companies. And we are going through a place now and in a process now where we are pretty much about the survival of the fittest. If you aren't really, really strong and fit, you're not going to make it. I've seen some great retailers, small retailers, that I thought, you know what, they'll probably make it because they're somewhat specialized or high-end or whatever it might be, declare bankruptcy in the last 3 weeks. I think we're going to continue to see some of that, and I think it's going to be particularly true in the oil sector. And what I mean is there's going to be a huge swash of a small oil companies, drillers, pumpers, service sector, not gas companies that are small, that probably aren't going to make it through the next 6 months. It's going to be very, very difficult. Something's going to happen dramatic, and I don't see that on the horizon. And I think that is going to change the new normal. I think the new normal in the oil sector a year from now is going to be very different. I think one of the things that has been not, that we haven't paid enough attention to, that I'm trying to watch, it's a little bit harder to get a handle on it, but one of the things that is happening is research and development, and what is happening with research and development. Research and development among some companies is rapidly, extremely rapid advancements are being made in a number of different places. One of them is energy. So there has been this a huge opportunity for some companies to pull back and regroup a little bit and regroup to some of the R&D, some of the research and development they're doing, and regroup in a way to speed up or to rethink what they were doing. There are some companies, obviously, I'm not talking about pharmaceutical companies and biotech companies. That's a whole different world. Obviously, they have some legitimate reasons for trying to put the gas pedal full speed ahead. But I think there's other companies that are coming to recognition that, look, what we thought was going to happen in the next 15 years or the next 20 years, we need to make it happen now. We need to make it happen as soon as possible. And I think a lot of those areas are in the energy world. And I think our energy is going to reshape itself very quickly. So you notice that I put a Denmark company, it's a windmill company. They are the developers of windmills. Every single windmill, if you live in West Texas, you know this all too well, but all the windmill farms that you've seen around the country and the windmills themselves, anything that is under the 2 years over 2 years old, the technology is all coming from this company that I put on my buy list. And so it is an amazing company, and it has had a great, great run. Their technology still remains the best technology out there. And they are continuing. I'm getting a message that I am cutting in and out. All right, wait a minute. Hold on 1 second. If you hear a click, I'm not hanging up. All right. Can you hear me? No, that's... Oh, okay. All right. This should be fine now. Sorry about that. I don't know if there was anything missed or not. Anyway, so that technology has changed, but more importantly, the need is speeding up. We are seeing everything fall into place to move quicker, on ethanol-driven things, to move quicker on increasing ethanol engines, to look at not gas. We are looking at other kinds of power and transportation, some of it coming straight from alcohol, some of it coming from different types of batteries that technology is improving dramatically. We are seeing automobile companies ramp up the speed in which they are going to be putting out their hybrid, their all-electric vehicles or whatever, with great advancement and speed. All of that is going to weigh on the energy sector in a far more dramatic way than I had anticipated. I can't speak for other analysts, but I was in the 20 to 25 year range before we really started, would really start to notice a depreciable downturn in the use of nat gas and the use of crude oil. And I think oil exploration is going to change. I think there's so many areas that are going to change a little bit sooner than we think because of the ramping up of so many other alternatives. I think one of the things that we're going to see in the energy sector, which has already started with Royal Dutch Shell, with British Petroleum, with ExxonMobil, they're probably the three to some extent Total, that's a French oil company. But these companies have really seen major advancements towards renewables and green energy. They are looking at ways that they can maintain their dominance in the energy industry, but obviously changing the source of that energy and changing their expertise in energy that is renewable. And some of these larger companies have spent a lot of money on it, making great advancements in it. And it's going to forever change the energy sector. My point is, we've known that. We've always known that. We've known that for the last 5 years. But I think it's going to advance a little bit quicker than we think. It's probably going to change some of my thoughts about energy in general as being a significant part of our asset allocation models now, but it may even be less so or replaced with other types of energy, like the wind company that I got on our buy list this week. Excuse me. So I'm not concerned, but I'm watching very closely how that begins to reshape. I think not gas is going to start to play a bigger role in our energy portfolio. It is the reason why our carbon emissions in the United States is going down dramatically. It's not because of the Paris Energy Accord or anything like that. It's because we've been using so much nat gas, it's burning so much cleaner. And I think we're going to start seeing that in vehicles and public transportation primarily. I think we're going to see that as an alternative for mass transit in areas that electricity or in other areas where it just wouldn't make sense. And I think we're going to start seeing an increase in that gas for that. But we need more liquefied nat gas plants, and I think the liquefied nat gas area is probably going to be the best place from an energy perspective over the coming years. So I'm looking at that. I'm probably going to see some downplays there. I am waiting to see. I'm very, very anxious to see what the end of this summer is going to bring. The elections could change everything. I've got a strategy that I'm going to ask everybody to put in place. I am almost to the point where I don't know that I am going to wait much longer on releasing that. It is not going to make a whole lot of difference in anything you do now as far as you're buying or selling or whatever it is you're doing. Maybe you're trying to generate more cash. Maybe you're doing that by way of you've made a decision, even though it's not a hard and fast policy of ours now, but to maybe change your strategy and start taking some more profits and generate that cash, whatever it is. It's not going to impact any of that. It's not going to impact any of that. So I would not say this on the air, and I don't plan on saying this on the air. I'll say it to you because I can say it in this setting in a lot different way. I passionately, desperately, and fervently are praying that President Trump wins the election. I think it's critically important for America. It's critically important for our children and for our grandchildren. And we know, we will know whether God has achieved certain things with one term or he needs a second term in order to do that. I feel less and less confident that this current president is going to win the election. I would never ever say that publicly because I don't want people to get complacent. But I'll tell you what this election is going to mean. It is going to test the fiber of our being. How bad and willingly are we to fight for this nation, and to fight for this country? We are going to find that out because I have a strong suspicion that if we are going to win this nation, we have got to be willing to fight more than at the polling place on the election day. We've got to stand up and be counted now, and we've got to try to influence those around us. And we need to do that for country and for God. There's a part of me that can't imagine him not winning. There's a part of me that knows if he were to lose, he is his own worst enemy. And it is his election to lose. And it's his election to win. If I could speak to this president, I'm not alone. There's other people that could do this. The president certainly does not need me or my opinion. But if I could speak to this president, I would tell him that I could guarantee he's going to win, but he's got to do everything I say, you know, out on the campaign trail. So therefore, I don't think he would do it because I've got to believe that others have told him that, other people that he is listening to and other people around him. If they haven't done that, then shame on them. I would at least do it knowing that he may not listen, but I would do it anyway because out of my sense of patriotism, I would need to do that. But we need to be praying that the president can put together a rally cry that is going to resonate in the same kind of powerful way, not with his base, but with his base. He needs to do that too, but with people that aren't any part of his base. And I'm hoping that can happen. It needs to happen. It's almost going to have to happen. And I do think he's going to win. So I am not making a drastic plan with the notion that he's not going to win. I am making a plan that I believe he's going to win. So that's why I say I want you to progress as normally without thinking about what the plan is. I want you to go about your business, because what I'm going to ask you to do is not going to impact anything that you do now, and it's not going to impact anything in particular if this president, when he gets reelected. So, but I am concerned, and as someone that is concerned, I have felt drawn to come up with a plan that you can put into place. I'm going to give you plenty of time to do it, and it's not that big of a deal. But I'm going to do a video, and I'm going to actually do a video about it so you can see it and understand it. Okay, so that's one thing that is still very much in the forefront of my mind. We have got to influence our center of influence. The center of my influence is Christ, of course, but my influence reaches to millions of people. And I've got to be incredibly careful, I know, of what I say and how I say it, and to try to stay positive and influence people that no matter what, we've got to be God's instruments and make sure this president gets elected. Look, God doesn't need us to get him elected, but we've got to do our part. He wants us to participate in it, and that's what we've got to do. So I'm going to be looking at those things. The other thing that I am with, whether he gets elected or not, there are going to be several things that I don't know if anybody else is, that I am going to call new normals in the economy. And I think we're already experiencing some of that. A new normal is going to be an economy with a threat of a pandemic. There are some of you that maybe are suspect about this virus. I am not suspect at all about this virus. I believe, and I know that there are people in Washington that believe it, that this virus was biowarfare from China. I believe that China has had its own little secret decision to declare war on the United States of America. Now, they could have declared war and dropped a couple atomic bombs. They could have declared war and started firing on our ships, shooting our planes out of the air, and letting it be known that it was them that did it. They would rather win this war using biowarfare and then declare the victory at the right time. And this is not the right time to do it. I believe their goal is, there's a couple things that China understands. If they're going to be competitive in the global economy and have economic dominance, they have to steal every bit of intellectual property that they possibly can. They know that it is far easier to steal it, reverse engineering, and then become a great competitor to the very company they stole it from, which is something they've been doing for a long, long time, and they will continue to do that. The students not being allowed here from China. Remember, we had a Harvard professor who was taking $50,000 a month that was instrumental in this virus. It's not hearsay, it's a fact. In a dream world of mine, if I were king of the world for the day, that professor would be in front of a firing squad for treason to the United States of America. So not only isn't he on the firing squad, at the firing squad, nobody even knows where he is or who he is or why he did it and what all the details are. Now, I would got to assume that our intelligence agency have that firmly under control. Let's hope so. But that's just how pathetic the left is. And this was germ warfare, bio warfare, whatever we want to call it, to bring down the president.
and have a bonus of bringing down our economy, because for every step backwards our economy takes, their economy takes a step forward, even without doing anything. I think it was biowarfare gone wrong. I don't think it was ever intended to infect their people, but you will notice that it infected an extreme poverty area of the country, and maybe it was planned to cleanse the country and take away any suspicion from them. This is communist, ruthless regime. Human rights have no meaning in their society. It doesn't sound far-fetched. It is true. So this is going to change our economy and could change the metrics that we measure everything by forever. And I don't think we're fully going to be aware of those changes until this time next year, at least. And we'll see what happens with this pandemic. And there will be another one. There will be another one. And I suspect the next one will be a lot more controlled. So by China. So we've got all of that going right now for us. And I want to just stress to you, there's a couple other things that we know. As long as our world exists, people will need to heat their homes, light their homes, air condition their homes, and pour electricity into their vehicles. Now, after saying that, do I have to tell you why I like utilities? You've heard me talk about them an awful lot in the last 3 weeks. Do you need me to tell you why? I've been talking about utilities long before Warren Buffett decided to take a major stake in a major utility company. It is the future of our energy, and guess what? Nobody can do without utilities. Yes, it's publicly regulated. And yes, everybody has to pay their electric bill. You have to pay your electric bill in the worst of economies. You have to pay your electric bill in the best of economies. That's all I'm going to – I don't need to say anything else about utilities. My analytics is going a little bit deeper than it normally has in utilities, and I'm not the only one. So if I'm not the only one, there's going to be more money pouring into some of the bigger utilities in the country. So I think it's a really good place to be moving into the 20-year future for a number of reasons. Electric cars benefit utilities. Nat gas is going to benefit utilities. So the growth in renewable energy is going to benefit utilities. Well, suppose Exxon builds algae plants everywhere. They need lights, lots of special lights. It's going to be good for utilities. They need equipment. They need to run certain things. All of it's good. And I can think of a couple downsides, but not many. So don't chase dividends when you buy utilities, other than look carefully at the lower dividends. Don't live on greed and expect to be successful. If you could get a 5% CD, how many of you would do it to help supplement your income? I can't see the hands, but I suspect that a whole lot of them are up. Why do we have to search for 14% dividends with companies that are probably going to be bankrupt and have no future? Why do we do that? Well, I'll take the money when we can get it. You'll take the money while you can get it, and who knows what will happen. Suppose Dominion Energy said every share of stock is off the street right now. We are closing our stock shares. Or there is a billion shares on the street, and we're taking them off because we're buying them back. No shares available. What are you going to do? That's not out of the realm of possibility. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it is going to happen somewhere on some stocks, mark my words. I don't know when, maybe 4 or 5 years from now, but it's going to happen if things continue to spiral in the direction that they are as far as the markets go. Look, we are overvalued. We've got to look for value. We've got to buy undervalued companies or balanced companies that they're not overvalued, but they're not undervalued. They're maybe even a little bit on the high side because some of those companies will see valuations and earnings in the next 2 years that will catch up to their stock valuations, and there'll be somewhat of a self-correction. We went through this self-correction in 2018, and we could do it again easily, assuming President Trump gets reelected. So I want you to please pay attention. We have here in the ministry a great blessing. One of the good blessings are there's new people listening. There's new people becoming partners. But they're becoming partners and not paying attention to anything. So they're buying off the broad list. They don't even know where the buy list is. They don't understand a lot of things that they're getting and doing. They think they can just, if it worked that they could just do whatever they wanted, then they wouldn't have needed to spend $85 or $124. They could just do that on their own. So that's a challenge I'm facing. There's not a lot I can do about it, is allow people to learn hard lessons. But things are changing. We are going to lose preferreds. There will be a day there won't be any preferreds on my list. There will be a day where there won't be any real estate investment trust on my list. Not because I don't want those things to be on my list, because they're just not going to be out there. They're going to be harder and harder to get. Some of them may end up being closed-end stocks. Some of them may come out with a notion or with a declaration that they are going to issue 2 billion shares, period, and then it's over, and they are going to close it to new investors. So if that happens, they're going to get harder and harder and harder to get, because institutions are going to buy it up before I get a chance to even click my mouse. So these are the kinds of things that are going to begin to reshape some of our investment strategies. Yes, markets are overvalued, but there are still values out there. Yes, I think it's a good time to pause, but I will remind you that in 2008, every single week, I was adding things to my buy list and taking things off my buy list, and we were having one of the worst recessions that we ever had, and I would submit to you that that recession lasted 7 years, not a year and a half. So I'm always going to be adding things on my buy list. I had something on my buy list this morning. So regardless, I've said this 1,000 times. Please don't say, well, wait a minute, I don't understand. You said to pause, but yet you're adding stuff on your buy list. You mean you think every time I put something on my buy list, you got to buy it? You must have an awful lot of money laying around. That's not at all. Remember, there are new investors coming in every day. There are new investors coming in that are 25 years old and have $6,000 and want to invest it. I want them to have something to buy. I don't want to discourage them. So pause if you're in the market. you got a great portfolio and it's locked up, and yeah, you're down on a lot of good stocks. Maybe it's time to just take a deep breath and say, you know, I'm not looking at my statements anymore. I'm just going to collect my dividends and I'm going to just leave it alone. I mean, you know, I think it's a good sign to pause, because I don't think we can get hurt by pausing right now. We're not going to miss a run-up. This morning, you might have thought you missed a run-up of yesterday or this week, because up until this morning, this week was looking really good. As a matter of fact, the last 5 weeks have been very, very good. I don't think you're going to miss a run-up without a pullback soon to follow. We're seeing a pullback today. Is it a correction? Is it a taking a breath? Is it a, looking at valuations? Is it a concern? I don't know. Maybe it's all those things. But that's the environment we live in right now, and I think we're going to live in that environment until after the election. And I think by the 1st of October, that environment's going to get a little bit worse, because the elections are going to start getting factored in. Now, I don't know what they're going to be factored in. They don't know how they're going to factor it in, but I think they're going to start to get factored in. So that's going to change some things. I might change my mind on this next week because of some circumstances that might happen, but I don't think so. So I'm just going to ask everybody to sit tight. Let's pause for a little bit. It's not a big deal. relax. I'm going to keep adding stuff on and off my buy list. I'll keep letting you know what they are, as it happens. So you can watch out for that. I like some healthcare and biotech sectors. I still like materials, and I still like industrials. Materials and industrials, listen to me. Materials and industrials, whether we get the Trump administration or Biden, we are going to see an infrastructure bill. We can count on it. It's the one thing that both sides want and know that we need. We're going to see it. Materials, industrials are going to benefit from that. I still like consumer staples. If you're young and really are risky and want to have a very aggressive portfolio, look at consumer discretionary. They're getting killed and they're going to continue to get beat up. Consumer discretionary, the key word is discretionary. If you want to be aggressive, focus on them, because they're already down. They're going to go down some more. And I think we are a ways away from consumers starting to move their discretionary income into some of the areas that those things are covering. Those stocks are going to be covering. You better watch that closely. That's another one. Consumer staples is good now. It's probably going to continue to be good for a while. That's an okay place to be. I would stay away from energy unless it's on my buy list for sure. I wouldn't add to too many positions that you have. I can't think of any that you really need to add to. I would ask you to remember that if you have dollar cost average on something, that's the end of it. Well, yeah, but it's going so much lower. It's okay. It's done. You did it. That's good. Don't keep dollar cost averaging down. You're just going to get overweighted. The other thing that I haven't put out yet, but I'm going to, I'll just give you a heads up. But one of the things I am trying to wrestle with is my over under, my margin of error, for lack of better, of on the asset allocation model. It's going up. I feel like I have felt like for the last 40 years, if you're within 4 to 5% of what you should be, don't even stress over it. I mean, it's one day away of a good or bad market. It's going to change that. It's not a big deal. That's not something you should be rebalancing over. That's probably going to move up to, I don't know, probably the 7 or 8% area, along with some key sectors taking a bigger piece of your asset allocation model. So there's some of the things that I'm watching, I'm looking for very closely. I'm continuing to watch energy. I'm looking at alternative energies that we can get on the list. The one thing I'm looking at very close, just to give you a heads up, not on my list yet, but the two, number one and number two, solar panel companies in the United States, not just producers but installers, the number one and number two have merged. They are one company now. So I am going to watch that. I'm going to be looking for a symbol. They're large enough, and there may be a possibility for some investment in that area. This is a great time to be investing in that. I am going to tell all of you as a warning, I know this is just a select few of you, if you own big bank stocks or big bank bonds, I know you're getting great dividends, that's great, you know, you're making income. I am telling you, I'm asking you, I guess, to please consider getting out of those sectors. The sooner the better. So if you own the big five, Bank of America, Citibank, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, did I say Bank of America? I think I did. That's five, but I'm missing one, I feel like. I don't know. I can't think of it. And even some of the big regional banks, the BB&Ts, none of these are on my list. None of them I mentioned are on my list, are biblically responsible. But some of those big regional banks, you got to get out of the banking sector. Any size, get out of the banking sector. If you own any of the big five life insurance companies, Prudential, Metropolitan, New York Life, you know, some of those big companies, I'm drawing a blank, I don't know why, but you need to get out. That's the shadow banking system. You need to get out. I'm not telling you to get out in a panic mode. I'm not saying you got to be out in the next 2 months even. But start carefully calculating and thinking about where you're going to go with that money. Start thinking about it. You shouldn't own them anyway if you're trying to be biblically responsible. But I know some of you own those. And you need to move out. I talked this morning about airlines, you know how I feel about that. I mean, none of these, the big banks and airlines have never, ever, in the history of my career, have never been on my list. But anyway, I just tell you that as a warning, and it is a warning. Listen, we're not going to know. You're never going to catch that falling knife without getting cut. Because if you think, I don't care if you work inside the banking system. I don't even care if you're a senior executive at one of these banks. You are not going to call the demise of their stock. You're not going to. I'm telling you. And I hope you'll take heed. All right, I've got one more topic. There's one more thing that I want to mention to you. I am looking hard at international companies, and in particular, TPIF, that is the Timothy International ETF. I will tell you that that may be in the next few months or even now a good place to start shifting some money into, that you want to diversify internationally. I think the UK has announced this morning some issues and problems. I've been talking about Germany for 2 years. I've been talking about Spain and Portugal and Ireland since 2007. We've got to look, I believe that they're a step away, well, two steps away. The next step being taking a fairly dramatic dip lower. The next step is going to be chaos, absolute chaos. I don't want you in the chaos. But I think they're going to avoid the chaos because they've been so low and beaten up for so long, some of these international developed nation stocks, not emerging markets. Because of the currency risk, not emergency markets. Okay, so just that's not what I'm talking about. I'm glad I thought of it. But international developed nations. So that's what we're looking at. Japan, New Zealand, Australia, all of Europe, all of the Eurozone, all 27 nations of the Eurozone, even though we might not say, well, I don't know, Poland and the Ukraine are really developed nations. I'm calling them developed nations or acceptable nations. We've got to look everywhere internationally. I think that could be the next really big run. And when I say next, I'm talking about 5 years from now. So I want us to consider that. And I think that TPIF is really poised. And why I'm mentioning that, let me just tell you, take a look at a TPHD, take a look at TPIF, take a look at some of the you know, those ETFs. You know, TPHD has, I think, 102 positions in it. That's a beautiful thing. Yes, it may hurt a little bit on the downside. But let me tell you something else about the ETFs. The average beta, do you know what beta is? Beta is a measure of risk, okay? So there's a baseline of zero, I don't know what zero is, cash maybe, of no risk. There is a above and below a positive of that. Beta of one, even a beta of 1.25, 1.5 is not that bad. I mean, that's not that risky. The average beta in that ETF, 0.56. I got to be honest with you. I know the guy that developed the ETF. I know him. I've talked about him. We've had lots of conversations. It's amazing that they got companies like that in there. And they're biblically responsible. They have low beta. But here's the thing. They didn't dilute the ETFs. They don't have 800 positions. They've got 100. So if you look at TPIF, you're going to enjoy the benefit on the upside of a position like that because they're not so diluted. I mean, they're not like TPHD, but because TPHD is much more focused on income. So they have a low beta, but they also, you know, but also they're striving to generate, you know, to generate income. But when you look at that, it is really important that if we look at an IF, a TPIF, I don't hold me to the numbers, please, if you do the research. But it's got 300 and somewhere between 325 and 375, I think. I'm going off of memory. But again, it's not 650 companies. Again, they have companies that have pretty amazing low beta. So I think it's important that you, when you think about international, rather than trying to build it inside your portfolio with a few multinationals and a few, very few international funds that I have on my list, you would be better in covering that position or that diversification with TPIF. And I think that would be a better move for you. Like all international funds, this has gotten beaten up. But compared to some, it's fared well. And I think the long-term outlook is going to be good for international in general. And they've got some good companies inside it. So I want to just focus on those kinds of things. I hope that's helped you a little bit. I am putting together my, you know, podcast that I've been putting up in the morning on the website in the commentary section. You know, I think, what was it, the week before last, right? Or was it last week? Maybe it was last week. I don't remember. It was either last week or the week before. I had something every single morning. But if you go back and think about that, yes, because I had something to say every single morning, there was something going on. This week, no. I didn't have anything this morning. I don't even think I had anything yesterday morning. I did on Monday and maybe Tuesday. But I'm going to try to do that, too, next week while I'm on vacation. I'm going to try to throw some of those up there because I'm not going to lose touch with what is going on. I'm going to maintain that. Just going to be doing it in a more relaxed atmosphere and being able to take it easy. But I'll put a podcast up next week, not every day. But I think they've been helpful. And I've had a lot of people say, you know what, you don't really need the conference call. It's a waste of time that you're doing that. The podcast is much better. It's shorter, it's concise, and, you know, I'm getting a lot out of it. I don't need the I'm going to still do the monthly call because we still get 7,000-8,000 people that listen to this. So everybody still thinks it's pretty valuable, I guess. So we'll keep doing that. But don't ignore the podcast during the week. Now, here's what I am noticing that a lot of people are doing. I'm not being critical of this because nobody understands time management better than I do because I have no time to manage, and I totally get that. But a lot of you will go on Thursday and listen to all of them because you got some time. And I know that some of you will listen to Mondays on Thursdays. It happened today. Somebody called me and said something about it on the air. That you're like, I wish I would have listened to it Monday. So I can't, you know, you know your time. You got to manage it. And for me, 4 minutes can be everything. I mean, really, it's that tight. So I get that, and I understand all of you that are busy. But maybe you just listen to learn. Maybe you don't. It doesn't matter because you're not really doing anything yet. You're still learning the process. That's great. You can do it once a week and listen to the ones I put up. That's fine. Or do it over the weekend. I'm okay with that. I'm fine. That's good. But I would just tell you, I'm doing that, and I just it's not going to be an everyday thing. Okay. So if you're a new partner, no, I'm not committing to do that every day. All I'm saying is when there is something pressing or I feel like I have something to do, I'll put that little podcast up there. It's far better than me trying to type something because I can say it in a tone of voice that helps without you trying to figure out what I'm saying. So I'm going to continue to do that, and I'll continue to do this. So continue to tell people about financial issues. Folks, I know I've said this before, we're going to have a rough summer. I've had probably the worst 3 weeks in the history of the ministry. I've said that before, but we, you know, it just this means it was worse than last worst one. Now, yesterday I kind of committed to God that I'm not going to look at it anymore. Because I felt like it was beginning to get in my way of my relationship with God and what God has done. So it is, I hope it's the last time you hear me say that, except for at the end of the year when obviously there's two times I will always look at it, and that is going to be the end of our fiscal year, September 30th, and at the end of the calendar year, I look at that mainly because I kind of have to. I'm putting reports together, and I need to do that. But I'm only going to be looking at it not on a day-by-day basis, but in a general sense. So I'm okay. I know God is going to cover us, but I would ask you, there is two things. There's one thing that is most important in your life, to be bold in sharing Jesus Christ. And it's always, you'll notice when I pray, I oftentimes pray for courage for everybody listening or for myself. Because it takes courage to have that boldness. But the blessing is amazing. So I've given you, not intentionally for this reason, but I've given you another tool. If you're sharing God, referring to our Friday morning Bible study. Anybody can do it. You don't need the internet. All you need is a phone. And you dial the phone and you listen to the study. And if you don't like me or you don't like it, I'll never know. I'm never going to ask you a question. I'm not going to ask you to read something. I'm not going to ask you for your opinion. I don't get to turn and look at you and say, what do you think? It is the most unthreatening way that you can sit in your pajamas and do a Bible study. All I ask you to do is dial the phone and open up your Bible. Now, we've grown so much in that, and so many people have said what a blessing it is. I hope that it is. I'm surprised that it is. But it's a way to tell somebody about the Bible study. You have a neighbor that's saying, oh, yeah, I'm just not my thing. Maybe he wants it to be his thing. But it's too scared. Do you remember the time you went to your first Bible study? My wife went to her first Bible study. She didn't know the New Testament from the Old Testament. She didn't know, you know, what the difference was or what was what. She didn't know. She now leads in her Bible study. But she always tells the story of she was literally trembling to the point where she was certain that people thought she had maybe a tic or something going on. She was trembling. She was that scared and that nervous. And you know what she was scared of? Somebody might ask her a question. Or somebody might ask her to pray. It wasn't that she didn't know anything. It was just such an intimidating atmosphere for her. We've taken all that away, man. All you got to do is dial the phone up. It's a piece of cake. I had guys, when we started this, email me and said, look, I don't own a Bible. What version do you think I should buy, or where can I get it? Can I buy it offline or whatever? I mean, online. Didn't even have a Bible. That I'm sure I've never felt threatened for one second doing this Bible study. So tell people about that. It's a great way you can do the most important thing, share God, and you draw closer to God. Second thing is not as important, but I'm going to ask you, would you share financial issues? You know, sometimes it breaks my heart to hear people call and tell me how great the ministry has been for me, because I wonder if they've ever shared it with anybody. I wonder if they've ever helped a neighbor or friend, believer or not believer, it doesn't matter. I have a Muslim guy that's a partner. He's a practicing Muslim. And I remember when he first called me, emailed me, and we talked on the phone. And he said, would you mind? Can I become a partner? And I said, man, I don't care. Yeah, you can become a partner. He's been a partner for about 5 years. We probably, through his influence, have so many other partners. They don't believe in gay marriage. They don't believe in, you know, they believe in a marriage between them. I'm talking about conservative Islam. Yes, I don't believe that they believe the same God that we believe in. And we can debate that. They don't believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ. They believe he was a prophet, but they don't believe in his divinity. There's a lot of differences, but he can't be a partner without hearing things about Jesus. That's a good thing. We want to help everybody. So there are people that this is going to help, that you can tell about. And at the same time, it helps us. The general consensus is we should raise our prices for partnership. I'm telling you, I'm really struggling with it. I don't know. You know me. I don't even want to try to sell one of my books. It's really hard for me to do that. It really is. Is it a value? I believe it's a ridiculous value. I know that. Way more than any of you do, because I know so much about what's out there. But I don't know. My concern from day one was that the high school graduate that has made a decision to enter the workforce and is going to work, or maybe he's going to trade school, or maybe he's working as an apprentice in a trade, I want he or she to be comfortable spending $85 that they don't have to start learning a little bit about this. I want the widow that's 75 years old, didn't know anything, but wants to honor God with her or the widow or his money for the first time and won't care about $85. And that's why it's always been this inexpensive, because I'm playing the law of large numbers. So I struggle with it because I don't want anybody to be alienated. I don't want anybody to ever think that it's for somebody but not for them. I don't want anybody to think that. Just like I don't want somebody that is as poor as a church mouse and doesn't have barely two nickels to rub together. They need help in some area, I want them to call me. I don't want to alienate anybody. You know how I feel. I hope you can hear that in my voice. Sometimes you get annoyed. Yesterday was one of those times. I mean, you know, you get the Bitcoin and the gold question and all that stuff, and people want to be argumentative. Look, there's no reason to ever argue with me on my philosophy, because I generally, inside my heart, this is wrong. I'm revealing my heart to you. In my heart, I'm saying, this is what I'm really saying, no matter what I say to you. What I'm really saying is, okay, I'm right, you're wrong, and that's okay. That's really what I'm saying. I mean, that's how I'm patient. That's how I get through it, because you're allowed to be wrong. I mean, that's fine. I'm wrong sometimes, and I'm allowed to be wrong. And, you know, you're wrong this time. But, and I say that tongue-in-cheek, I'm being a little facetious, but there's some truth to it as well. You know, I don't worry about it. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But to get argumentative, why? Because you don't like my opinion? Well, I don't like your opinion. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying, well, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you know, I'm not going to argue with you over it. I got better things to argue about. I might argue with you about Scripture, but I'm not going to argue with you about that. Okay. All right. So I sure appreciate all of you. None of that was helpful, but I shared it with you. And don't call me and say none of that. Email me, like last conference call, somebody told me, well, it wasn't, we don't need to hear that. Okay, well, no, you don't need to hear that. So again, you're wrong, I'm right. And, you know, I don't care. The more you know me, the more you know my heart, you know where I'm coming from, you know my position, you know my goals, you know my understanding, you know how much I care about all of you, even those that you don't care a lick about what I care about. I still don't want to do the wrong thing, because I don't know about you and how you feel about this, but I'm going to stand before my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, someday, as he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And I'm going to stand before him. And though I hurt people unintentionally, and though I hurt people intentionally, I do that sometimes. I'm not going to lie. And though I can sound awfully gruff and awfully hard, sometimes that's just being from Philadelphia and I can't help it. Sometimes it's somewhat intentional. But you guys all know my heart, and that's what matters. So the more I reveal, the more you know, the more comfortable you are, the more maybe you'll listen. That would be good, I hope. And the more I rely on the Lord for guidance for all of you. All right, have a great day. I thank you. Continue to pray for the ministry. It's going to be a rough summer, but we are going to rejoice in the Lord for all that he's done for us and continues to do. I thank you for all that you're doing for the ministry. So many of you have stepped up with $20 a month. You don't have to do that. You're partners, you're givers, and you do it anyway. And, man, it is someday, I hope that is the tail wagging the dog and we can lower. You make everybody a partner. I doubt that'll ever happen, but it sure is a help, and we appreciate it so much, and we're going to keep growing that. All right. I hope you have a great day, and thank you for all that you do, all that you mean to us. We sure do appreciate it. Hope you have a great day. God bless.